post, get there first. The near post, get there first. Don't get there second, don't get there third. The near post, get there first. If it's for football news that you thirst, the near post, get there first.
Welcome back to the Near Post. I'm Russ Gibbs, sitting in then for Eamon Flanagan for the local show here. I'm joined by Pete Fennell. Welcome back. Pete, how are you today?
Russ, I'm fine, mate.
Excellent. Good stuff to hear. So we've got bags of stuff coming up. We've got an interview with Eddie Senatore coming up. But first of all, we'll start with the local news. What have you got for us over there today, Pete?
More than we can handle, Russ. Capital Football's generating plenty of good news from a football point of view. A couple of items noteworthy in the time we have. There is a proposed under-12 tour of South Korea to go to the ESPN Youth Tournament in Muju, South Korea, of course. Now, this is particularly important because it constitutes, in my view anyway, Capital Football's first substantial response to the fate of the under-13 boys' national campaign. There's been a bit of noise around the tour. But the dates are now resolved, 2 to 6 November. Only two snags with all of that. It occurs during the school term, pardon me, and the cost is likely to be around $3,500.
That's quite expensive, isn't it?
It is.
How does that compare to other sports in Canberra? I know you've been looking at a couple of things for that.
Well, yes, a good friend of mine handed the ACT swim team bulletin over the fence, and If you have a child that's going to that carnival in Perth, you probably won't get much change out of about $1,800, and some kids might only swim in one event.
Yeah, it's quite incredible, really, when you think about it. What else has been happening around the Canberra football scene?
Look, President's 11 has been settled. The squad's dwindled down to 16, and of course they play on the 12th of July at the AIS at 1 p.m. Against the Mariners. A game to be seen.
They've had a look at the squad that's been picked for that, and it's quite interesting, so that's one to go and watch too. And anything else?
Well, Capital Football is emphasising respect for referees. I don't think it's unfair to say there have been plenty of events on the sidelines and on the field. All that we can really hope for is consistency.
Yeah, I heard from the weekend there's a couple of games where a player was booked early on and was then... heard to swear quite a lot during the game. Referees did nothing, whereas you said in a game that you watched, they were very stringent, so the consistency factor is going to be a key, isn't it?
Yeah, yes, it is. I certainly know in the dressing sheds through the grades, the coaches really got into the players and made sure that they understood that if they argued, the first colour they'd see would be yellow.
Yeah, that's interesting to see. And this weekend there was obviously the usual round of matches in the Premier League and the Women's Club Pink Premier League. The scores from the weekend, we'll have a quick chat about them in a second. Canberra City 2, Toggenong United 2, brace of penalties from Kael Pedrotta, Nick Caggiano and Pat Ross-McGee scoring for Canberra City. Canberra FC continuing on their merry way, winning 7-2 against Werden Valley. Cameron Gordon and Kevin Evans for Werden Valley. Adam Spalletti with a hat-trick, Dom Giampaolo, John Glass, Elliot Zwangabani and Alex Castro scoring the goals for Canberra FC. Belconnen United 2, O'Connor Knights 1. Ian Graham and David Arantz giving Belconnen a 2-0 lead. Goran Valjanovski pulling a goal back for O'Connor. And a goal fest between Canberra Olympic and ANU. Olympic winning by 4-3. Brace for Danny Makor, including a 91st minute winner. Oliver Vidica and Yanis Katabalis scoring for Olympic. Zvonimir Rogic, Luke Pilkington and Danai Gapari on target for ANU. Which leaves the table with Canberra FC a 2-point advantage and a game in hand over Belconnen in second. And then quite a big gap of 7 points between second and third with the Canberra Olympic and ANU tied. Canberra City in fifth, then O'Connor, Tuggeranong, Queanbeyan and Roden bringing up the rear. Did you get out to any games on the weekend, Pete?
The usual standard fare in Premier League, quarter three junior games. There's some absolutely terrific play occurring in the under-11s, 12s on modified rules. You can certainly see that the under-12s, particularly at the Red Division now, are aching to get on the larger field. They've got the passing game now. They've got a good power on their pass, and their movement's good. So they're well and truly ready to move, and many of them will, of course, in the Kanga Cup.
Absolutely, which comes up soon, and we'll be talking a lot about the Kanga Cup in the weeks to come. And the Club Pink Women's Premier League. Do you have any results over there, Pete?
Yes, indeed. The Women's Premier League, ANU 0, Bellwest Foxes 2. That's a good result for them. Western Creek 2, Canberra FC 1. That's a hot result, I think.
Yeah, good performance from Canberra FC to keep them to 2-1.
It is. And Woden Valley 4, Belconnen United 1. So they continue, as I've said before, on their merry way, Woden Valley. They're an absolute standout team.
Yeah, 8 points clear. It's quite surprising at the start of the season you wouldn't have picked Woden Valley to be up there. I mean, brace of goals from Sally Rojan, Ashley Pullumby and Catherine Brown scoring again on the weekend, and they have the top goal scorer in the league in Gracie Field as well. It's amazing that they've come so far in such a brought a lot of youngsters through and pushing all the way.
I've snuck across from our training at different times and watched them train. Now, it's no accident they're playing well. They're training the house down.
It's good to hear for there. So coming up very, very shortly then, we're having an interview with Eddie Senatore. You caught up with him during the week, Pete. Would you like to just give us a brief background on Eddie?
Well, he is a football tragic, but he's also a very fine coach in futsal and football. A thinking man's coach. He has dealt a lot in junior football, and he has a very fine coaching style with juniors and lower end of youth. I'd be astonished if this man doesn't migrate up towards the Premier League. In fact, I rather hope he does. Tonight we're talking about futsal, which he has a particular passion for and has travelled much around the world over.
Okay,
he's worth a listen.
Let's have a listen to see what Eddie had to say when he met up with Pete during the week.
Today we're talking to Eddie Senatore, a Canberra boy, educated at St Edmunds and ANU, and is now principal in a private accounting firm here in Canberra. He's a football player, coach, parent and student of the game. He's coached football and futsal, boys and girls, mixed gender teams, and is an ACT representative futsal coach. I should also make one other point. That Eddie is much travelled with football and futsal. He's toured with parties to and taken parties to Brazil and to Japan and other places around the globe. So we are coming from an informed point on the compass. Not much guesswork here. G'day, Eddie. How are you?
Very well, thanks, Peter. Thanks for that introduction.
That's all right, mate.
I'm embarrassed about that, really.
I'll await the check. We have something new. It's the creation of Boomerang's Futsal Sala.
Yes.
New club.
Yes.
What made you do it?
Essentially to create an opportunity for the kids. Both Christian and I were fortunate to take a group of kids to Japan last year under the Capital Football banner. We just saw overseas, particularly in Japan, how teams were very structured and organised, and there was a sense of identity there. Then putting that in the context of Australia, ACT is not that far away from New South Wales. New South Wales, as we all know, has a very strong futsal competition. Indeed, if you have a look at their club structures, you'll see that their clubs are very, very competitive, both in the Premier League and the Super League. And we just asked ourselves the questions, why not have a club that's dedicated on futsal?
But it's interesting that you've taken this initiative, and it's particularly interesting that you're proposing to build a bridge into New South Wales, which football has had real difficulty doing.
Mm.
There we have it, Boomerang's FS.
Yes.
You're recruiting players.
Well, Football New South Wales have called for expressions of interest for clubs wanting to participate in both the Premier and Super League competition. And for those who aren't aware of the structure that New South Wales have, the Premier League is the superior league. They have a playoff and relegation and promotion system. Provides healthy competition between the Super and Premier League. So, you know, you winners of the Super League, you get promoted. You losers of the Premier League, you get demoted. So teams really strive to perform well in the Super League, and therefore presents its own challenges. And similarly with the
near post, get there first.
Well, the football New South Wales called for expressions of interest. And when you have a look at their request for expression of interest, there's all this pre-qualification criteria. It's very professionally run, and the club structure that needs to be there is very professional. We've called for expressions of interest because we need to have a sense from whether there's an interest in the ACT, in particular the kids in the ACT wanting to compete in the Super League competition. So if we can get the numbers up, then we have the basis of meeting one of the major criteria, and that is fielding teams in age groups 12s, 14s, 16s, youth and men's.
Yep.
And similarly for the women's, except we don't have youth and the women's straight into the women's competition. The other ones that come from that are, you know, the proper stadiums and the coaching structure. And you'll see in their qualification criteria, if you've got an under 12 boys team playing a competition, the coach of that team has to have at least level one coaching. If you're coaching 16 boys, minimum coaching qualifications of level one. So the structure they're building is quality underpins quality. So that's why we've called for the expressions of interest, to see whether there's enough, we can build enough momentum up there and show of hands to at least meet that base criteria they're calling for.
Already you're illustrating to the listener that just to get into this New South Wales Premier League, you're probably putting in your own version of an A-League bid here.
A mini version
of the A-League bid.
Yeah.
You know, like that.
Yeah.
What's implicit in everything you're saying is there's a very serious edge to the way they work, and what must go with that surely is very robust levels of competition.
Yeah. From a business perspective, if I look at it from the context of where my professional training is, we look at this and we say, okay, well, we want New South Wales to be competitive in this particular game, futsal. Okay, yep. So we've got enough participants to have two structured competition. We've probably got enough coaches out there to streamline that into having, you know, pre-qualification criteria for the coaches to have at least minimum level standard. So we're starting to build all these indicators that are all pointing us in the right direction, i.e. to be the best at a particular thing, i.e. futsal. Two robust competitions that play off each other, competitive environment for the players, and competitive environment for the coaches.
Well, that's interesting. There can be no doubt, I think, futsal is a game that simply captures young people. Once they get into it,
yeah,
they want more of it.
Yeah.
The other thing that occurs to me, particularly if we reflect school-based activity, this is often very easy to do at school.
Yeah.
Weather independent, just about everyone's got a gym.
Yeah, that's right. Obviously, here we're talking about boomerangs and focusing on boomerangs,
yeah,
but we can't escape the quality of that underpins the local futsal competition in the south and north side.
Yep.
And that is the interest you're talking about, the kids getting together with a bunch of mates, coming together on a weeknight, playing a competitive game of futsal that goes for 40 minutes. We're in, we're out, we've won, we've lost, we've had a few shots at goal. This enjoyment factor underpins the competitive nature.
Yep.
So if you go to places like Brazil, you just look out the window and they're kicking a tin can, and all of a sudden another kid will come along and there's 1v1 on a tin can.
Yep.
These are just kids having fun. Now that sort of translates itself ultimately into the pleasure and the enjoyment and the competitiveness for those that want to take it to the next level.
In a flash, Eddie, we just jumped the other side of the globe. This is very good.
These are the observations you make when you go overseas. Yes. You don't necessarily have to look at the way these guys are playing technically,
yep,
because it's very complicated to break down how teams like, say, in Japan or Brazil or Uruguay play their game unless you're on the inside and the coach has given you, well, this is what we're doing and why we're doing it.
Yes.
So you look around and see other things you can analyse, and that is a couple of kids kicking a tin can around,
yep,
out in the main street of downtown Brazil. And this is why I bring that back to the quality of what underpins the local competition, and that is a bunch of mates getting together having a good time. That's what makes the game popular. And from that, we then take it to the next level and we say, right, who wants to take it to the next level and not only have a good time but be competitive at it and take their skills to the next level?
Here in the ACT, futsal's been going a fair while.
Yeah, absolutely.
And it's been run on the back of some tremendously generous volunteers.
Yep.
It's essentially broken into two parts, north and south of the lake. That'd be right.
That's right.
What else can you say about the futsal landscape and the ACT?
Just have to go to, on the south side, the venues where these games are being run and have a look at the people who are organising this. You just have to go to the north side and do the same thing. As you correctly point out, there's people giving an enormous amount of energy and generosity of their time to make these things run, and they run well. And for ACT to be at the pinnacle of the sport for such a long time, to have the volunteer support to have these competitions running, it's an immense credit to those people.
Yeah, it is.
We see everything. If you go to the north side out there on a Sunday, because my boy now refs in the junior comps, and you go out there and you watch the young'uns running around, they're just having a great time, and they're playing quality football, really good football to watch at under 8s, 9s and 10s. It's fascinating.
I've been stunned at my son's school, where they started to offer it at their co-curricular program. Mm. It's gone absolutely gangbusters.
Mm.
More kids want to do it in the primary school than there are opportunities to do it.
Yeah, absolutely.
It puts the hooks in. It certainly gets the tick in the box from parents.
Yeah.
Another thing I'd like you to speak to, if you would mind, we're talking about the ACT landscape, which to some extent must impact on boomerangs. What is the condition and availability of our facilities in the ACT?
Well, there's a lot of sports being played indoors.
Sure. Yeah.
And that's one, as I mentioned before, one of the pre-qualification criteria is to have a facility that meets the basic requirements of Football New South Wales, able to hold so many capacity, able to hold a certain size of court, offer facilities to the public. And when Christian and I went around looking for these facilities, there aren't that many about because there's so much in demand.
What is futsal?
Five-a-side game played with a round ball that doesn't bounce, compact indoor facility, limited very much by time, 20 minutes a half, with certain conditions on the gameplay as to how you score and what opportunities you do have to score. But essentially 5v5, which is why I like it, because it doesn't necessarily mirror but sort of complements what we've been having in the ACT in the outdoor, and that is the small-sided game. Yeah. And there's a complementary aspect there in that five-a-side, kids are getting plenty of touches on the ball, and so they're enjoying this. And if we can get the basic fundamentals of enjoyment and enthusiasm and results, oh, I've got an outcome here, I stopped a goal, or I scored a goal, or I assisted in producing a goal, contributions to an outcome in 40 minutes, you know, it's gives the kids the satisfaction that they're achieving, which I think is pretty fundamental at various ages of development of the player, as an individual, actually, is take away the concept of the player, just as an individual.
Yes, and there's no hiding place on a futsal court, is there?
No, there's not.
And there's no doubt that you're going to get plenty of touches on the ball in the game.
Yeah, I must say, my fascination with futsal, apart from the speed of the game, which has to translate from the speed of thinking.
Yes.
And that's where the interest is we can coach both indoor and outdoor technically how to pass a ball, how to stop a ball, how to shoot a ball, what sort of system of play we want.
Yep.
But it's very difficult to teach a player at a point in time during the game whether I should pass, dribble, shoot, pass back. Can it assist in the decision-making process?
Yes.
And I think the more chances a player gets to make decisions, whether they're right or wrong, and we learn, the better we'll get player at the other end.
Futsal does pressure cook that, though, and it provides multiple opportunities.
Yeah,
often in rapid succession.
That's right. Yeah, but you get an instant outcome. Bang! I'm under pressure. I lose the ball. They score. Bang! I'm under pressure. No, I've got myself out of that.
Yep.
A little bit more confidence. I'll try that again next time.
Yep.
And if you've got a coach and a enthusiastic parent group that are encouraging the kids, you know, I think it all spells well.
Now, we mentioned 20 minutes a half. I know we're down at almost the intro level to futsal here. 20 minutes a half doesn't sound a lot of time. Oh boy, you got to watch a game to know how much 20 minutes is.
Yeah, absolutely. Futsal is one of those games where it's important as a player who's on the ball. It's just probably even more important as a player that's off the ball. The former Futsaroo coach says that he's only interested in players that can trap, pass and move. If you don't have those three fundamentals, trap, passing and moving, not interested in you as a futsal player. And I focus on that movement part. Yep. So you don't have the ball. It's all about playing the mind games and making the defence go somewhere where they shouldn't go in order to create an opportunity for someone else amongst your team. So you're constantly moving. And if you've had an opportunity to watch on the FIFA website some of the Euro futsal, at the movement there is just incredible.
Yeah, recommend that to anyone. So we're going to come up the scale again towards boomerangs now.
Yeah.
Lead you into territory that I know you know a lot about. Which state is the strongest in futsal and why?
Oh, I think if you look at the recent national championships, and you'd say that New South Wales were involved in, I don't know, 16 of the grand finals possibly, and came away with about 15 of them, it's a pretty clear cut numbers, you know. Numbers
and that's answer. Been year after year, hasn't it?
Yeah, in recent times.
Now, how do we fare in the ACT against that sort of formidable opposition?
I think in recent times, well, careful how you answer that question, because there's a history of AC success in ACT futsal, and all the people that are involved in that and who got ACT to that and maintained that standard, you know, it's commendable given the size of the ACT, its talent pool vis-a-vis the other states. But in recent years, is it a question that ACT's fallen off, or is it a question that the other states have picked up and looked at their game? Certainly the New South Wales structure seems to answer that question. I would have thought that states are taking it to another level.
Well, all the evidence points towards New South Wales, and I would have to agree with you. I think New South Wales have just kicked this up a notch, and that doesn't mean that we're not working hard. It just means that we now need to reflect on how we engage with that.
Well, New South Wales have two competitive leagues. Where I'll give you an example. We took two teams to the New South Wales State Championships last.
What ages are they?
We took a mixed 14s team, girls and boys, and we played in the 12s boys comp, and we took a 14s team into the 14s comp.
This is something you and your colleague Tristan got off the ground yourselves.
Yeah, we did that. We approached Football New South Wales and they accepted our nomination. We went to this tournament that lasted a long weekend in September, October, and at every age, both boys and girls, from juniors through to seniors, it was so competitive. It was an absolute eye. In fact, some of the parent group that were with our groups saying, look, I thought my boy was a talented player. I've come here and I know exactly where my boy sits vis-a-vis the rest of the landscapes. I'm not going to pressure him into doing something that he's just not at that level yet.
Yes.
It just puts everything in perspective and going to these events and these tournaments. You're playing off for the state championships. From there, New South Wales selectors are eyeing off potential candidates for the state teams.
Mm.
It's a competitive environment.
Yes.
It's hard work. Yeah. And you see it when Benfica turned up with all decked out in their tracksuits and their shirts and their bags, and you know, Sydney Magic turned up in the similar. And this is professional stuff for a futsal competition that starts from under 12s. It was a real eye-opener.
That's the environment your Boomerangs or Sala is going to walk into. So what effectively you're doing, if I use my words, would be you're building a bridge into competition in New South Wales for futsal.
Correct.
What sort of players are you looking for?
Well, anyone that's got an interest in wanting to play. Christian's looking at the expressions of interest now, and there have been a lot of expressions of interest in kids that wanting to participate.
Oh, excellent. Yeah.
And we just want to put teams in.
Yeah.
I don't think we're of the mindset to go into this competition to say we're going to win the Super League, or we want to win the Super League. We hopefully will have some players who are wanting to take this to the next level, who want to represent the ACT at at the national championships, or at least trial for that.
Yeah.
And we feel that seeing how the ACT players performed in those tense games, you just can't replicate the intensity of a semi-final.
Mm.
You just can't replicate the intensity of a grand final.
Mm.
But when you're coming against kids that play Premier League and they have playoffs, they have quarterfinals, semi-finals, they have state league championships.
Yes.
So that we can actually make the news. They're always playing in these pressure cooker situations.
Yes.
It's a very difficult thing to train when you've got a campaign leading to nationals. You just can't train that strict. Players, the ST players are competitive, don't get me wrong, very competitive. But when it gets down to that, you know, one-on-one and it's one goal each.
Mm. We maybe just don't have that kind of quality game again and again. It allows the players to be comfortable in that situation.
Or maybe, you know, that intensity, you know, I don't want to come across as saying our kids aren't there. I think our kids are there. You know, I was fortunate enough with Christian to have a group in the Nationals that made it to the grand final, group that made it to the semi-final and the year before to the semi-final. It's a very, very talented group of people.
Yeah.
Maybe for the whole 40 minutes at that intensity, that's a question. My personal experience in playing in elite competitions, you always find that the round competitions are at one level.
Yeah.
Comes quarterfinals, semifinals, and grand, well, even quarterfinals and semifinals are so different to the way rounds are played.
Yes.
And grand finals are so different to the way semis and rounds. There's just a different step. And you've got to have that experience. The first time you get in that situation, you get into a one-on-one situation, you're playing a quarterfinal, and you say, wow, why was that so different to when I was playing against you in the rounds?
Yes. Clearly, the Boomerangs teams will be playing a level of competition that we can't replicate every game here in the ACT.
Yeah.
Now, that's something really to be valued for those players that want to push forward in futsal.
Yeah.
Now, that said, what sort of commitment do you envisage?
Yeah, that's a difficult question to answer, and we're having the same issues with people who are putting in expressions of interest. Board New South Wales haven't finalised their decisions as to whether all the applicants are going to be accepted or not, so that therefore the draws haven't been sorted. Once the draws are sorted, we'll see what the level of commitment is. But at this stage, we're looking at about 14 games.
Over what period of time?
Yeah. Well, we're looking from starting in sort of late September right through to March.
Okay, so it's about the new normal futsal season.
That's right.
Yep.
So there's about 14 games. Football New South Wales, interestingly, are very keen to have ACT presence.
Oh, that's
great. And have indicated to us that subject to other clubs and subject to whether the players are up to it, we may be able to organise some double headers, perhaps, that we'll have a weekend of futsal in Canberra and a weekend of futsal in Sydney, and therefore commuting backward and forward every second week might not be an issue. But we're not there yet. But these are the sort of things that we've had discussions with them.
Sponsorship
is something we need to start targeting.
Well, all those A-League bid supporters who might be wanting to throw a dollar into grassroots.
Yeah.
Well, here's a real good way to do it.
I think, you know, it's
not looking for big money, are we?
No, enough to get a group of kids up to Sydney seven times a year and back.
Got to be somewhere. Yeah.
But we can't forget the importance of the local competition. And the fact that you won't be able to play for the Boomerangs if you're not playing in the local competition.
Okay.
Simple as that.
One of the big pluses must be the issue of what this new venture into futsal and more robust competition will bring to the game itself. What do you think?
I think if we start pulling some of these threads together, as I mentioned, one of the conditions in playing for the Boomerangs is you have to play for the local competition. Whether it's north or south side, doesn't matter. So we've got the best of both worlds here. I think we've spoken about that as well. You're there, your mates, you're having a good time. I want to challenge myself. Let's go up and play some robust competition in Sydney. Then hopefully we'll have this other benefit where the player that has played up in the weekend against, I don't know, Mascot Vipers or the Western Raiders comes back down to his mates during the week and says, hey, look, I was up in Sydney on the weekend and this guy from the Western Raiders just did this outrageous thing, or we tried this outrageous thing. Why don't we give this a go? And so we might see, and I'm hoping that we will see, some of the benefits flow back down to the club level and the mates level, and then finds its way back into the north, the local north and south side competition.
Well, that just has to be correct, because after the young players have competed at the nationals, they of course all come from all different clubs and teams. They take that stuff back to their teams, and you see them playing later, and you can tell that they've been playing at another level of intensity.
Yeah, that's right, and that's why it's very important that this venture into this competition from the Boomerangs' perspective is shared amongst the greater futsal community in the ACT. And that's why having Capital Football's tick off on that has been important, because the kids will then go back into the local comps with their mates, spread out hopefully amongst a number of teams trying things.
Look, I sincerely hope that the North and South Canberra futsal organisations, I'm sure they would, will give this a good push. For those listening, pass the message on, get your expression of interest in, we'll see where this takes us. But whatever comes out of it, it'll only be good. And the other thing you've mentioned to me, Capital Football does endorse it.
Yeah.
They're behind this. So this thing is a very, very important step forward in the futsal landscape.
I think it just gives our kids another audience. Saying, hey, look, this ACT mob aren't that too bad. Oh, yeah, but they've been, not in the recent past, but in the past they used to take out the Nationals, and so maybe this is a step into that direction, I don't know, but at least it gives the kids another audience. It might well say, maybe there is something in Canberra that we need to look at. Maybe the A-League bit is something we should be looking at. I don't know. I think that if we're all sailing in the same direction, it's obviously got to help.
You need anything more from Capital Football?
I think Capital Football support is all we need. I think we've got, at the moment, we've got a group of people that are involved in enthusiastic and want to see this thing come off.
Yeah.
And, for that, we're thankful for Capital Football to give us that big tick just to see whether we can get in. And once we're in, we then got to showcase to make sure that we're competing.
And they've certainly been doing some spade work with futsal in the last year or so.
Capital Football has, absolutely.
So that's helpful. Perhaps we could wind up on this note. If you had a bit of advice you wanted to give to parents and players about this, what would it be?
About futsal or the Boomerangs?
Well, go for both.
That's what I say to the kids that I coach in outdoor and the kids that I coach in indoor. Fundamentally, we have to enjoy what we're doing.
Hmm.
We have to. If we're not enjoying it, why are we doing it?
Yeah.
You can't go out in the field, well, I won't kick this ball, I won't pass this ball, I won't have a shot, I won't have a dribble, I won't turn outside because something might happen or I might make a mistake.
Yep.
It's just not on.
Yep.
You have to go out there and enjoy, have a turn, have a shot, have a dribble.
Yep.
And who knows where it's going to take you.
Absolutely.
Give it your best and make sure you're enjoying it, because if you're not enjoying it, you're not going to get anywhere.
Well, what are we doing there?
Yeah.
Now, about Boomerangs, what would you advise about Boomerangs to players?
I think,
and the parents of younger players.
Here's an opportunity for guys or players that want to play in a local competition, be with their mates, enjoy the game, but also looking at perhaps another challenge, excelling and extending their skills and their ability to think under pressure and practice their skills against tougher competition, because they do want to trial for the Nationals and they do want to compete for the ACT at the Championships. Here's another potential learning opportunity.
Yes.
Put in an expression of interest.
It's a big dividend, that.
Yeah.
It's potentially a very big dividend
for
players who might hopefully they would want to trial for the National teams and the ACT.
Yeah. I think we've got to have our... If our best kids aren't trialling, then we need to know why.
Exactly.
And we need to create as much opportunity. We need to create a fertile ground to give these guys saying, hey, I've gone up for the state champs of the Boomerangs. I'm playing in this local comp. I'm going to come against this bloke in the Nationals. Why not give it a go? I don't know. I don't think we've got the answers. We're just trying something.
I think that's fantastic.
Yeah.
We might end on that note. And if you want more information on the Boomerangs, it's up on the Capital Football website. And we'll stick it up on the Near Post blog. Eddie,
thanks
very much.
Thank you.
And that was Peter chatting to Eddie Senatore. Very interesting stuff there, Pete. And if you've out there, anybody listening, got any thoughts on it at all, we'd love to hear from you at nearpost2xx@gmail.com. We are swiftly wrapping up. We've got a few minutes to go. I understand some big news in terms of the ACT Premier League. Pete, the Premier League license is up for renewal, and you've got a bit of news on that.
Well, yes, Russ, this is a matter that we here at the Near Post are going to watch very carefully and pursue with some vigour. It governs our footballing life. The interesting thing is questionnaires, I understand, have gone out to clubs and they'll be responding to those. And then, of course, the full criteria will reach the clubs. What that criteria is, that is to say, how far has it changed from the last time, is unknown to us at the moment. But very clearly there are some structural anomalies across the clubs, particularly when you see the junior influence, the Premier League 18s and 16s, and importantly, finance. There's a binary divide there.
And there was an article in the paper on the weekend that suggested that the competition will be expanded next year, the ACT Premier League. So rather than losing clubs, they're looking to obviously attract a few more.
Well, yes, I can understand there are claims on positions at particular levels within the existing structure. Whether the new clubs can deliver up everything that's being required of them now, well, that's another matter. We're seeing problems with that already.
Yeah, there's a few clubs around that we've talked about before that their so-called partnership with junior teams is nothing but a name on a paper, really.
Well, yes, it's a bit, as the Tuggeranong players indicated, you know, some clubs are club for hire. Whoever thought you'd outsource your juniors or outsource, indeed, your seniors? But there you go, it's happening. So it would indicate that there are differences in structural solutions.
Okay, so next week we'll be back again with a bit of news and interviews. And next week we've got a special interview as well, haven't we?
Yes, we do. We're going to be talking to young Lucas Cole, who's come back from trialling with Blackburn Rovers and Notts Forest. And he will talk about everything he saw on the ground, and particularly, and I can recommend this to players and to parents, listen very carefully to what he experienced, what he saw on the ground. It's a harsh environment, a predatory environment.
And that's the first of a special two-part interview as well. We have the different viewpoint, if you like, from his mother who accompanied him on the trip, is that right?
She did, Anita, and Anita's got some very sage-like advice for parents.
So look out for that one next week. Once again, thanks very much for your interview, Pete. Thanks very much for your time. You've been listening to Russ Gibbs and Pete on the local Near Post, and remembering, if you're going to the Near Post...
I'm nearly there. Get there first.
Near Post, get there first. The Near Post, get there first. Don't get there second, don't get there third. The Near Post, get there first. If it's for football news that you thirst. The Near Post, get there first.